Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you'll learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. I have a great show for you today. I'll be teaching you ways to have a perception shift in any situation you're in. I'll also be interviewing Heidi Sifkis, who's an author and an adventurer. She shares her story of how she had to have a perception shift in order to move on to the next level in her life. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My first album, Consolation, was written specifically for people who are experiencing grief and loss. I like to think of this album like a book. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And just like in any story, it goes from the loss that one experiences and eventually helps people find the hope for their future. You may purchase this album on iTunes or through any other digital music store. Be sure to download the digital booklet that comes along with it. The name of the album is Consolation, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you are currently hearing is entitled Temptation. One day, the father of a very wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the express purpose of showing him how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On the return from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh, yes," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from this trip?" asked the father. The son replied, "I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." The father was speechless by the boy's perspective. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we really are." Perspective. Perspective is essentially the reality that you have in any given situation. With the information that you have, you create a perspective of what is true, what is the reality of a situation. That's why if two people are arguing, they have a completely different perspective of what's happening, but to them, the truth is what they perceive. When I'm with clients, I often like to hold up a book. And I ask them what they see. Many times they will tell me what they see on the front cover. They will give me all of the details of what the picture may be, what the wording is, what they perceive to be true. But the whole lesson of that is there is another side to that book. And so I show them the back cover. Or I may open up the book and show them all that's inside of it. And it's a really good example of how our perception shifts when we have more information. When we look at a situation in a different way, it causes us to perceive it differently, which then in turn causes our reality to be different. Think of a Rubik's Cube. You may see one side of the Rubik's Cube, and then when you flip it around, you can see many different colors, many different sides. In every situation that we're in, there's always a lesson to be learned. Just like that Rubik's Cube, when you spin that Rubik's Cube around or you flip that book around, you get more perspective and you have a different way to look at it. You have to ask yourself, how can I look at this situation differently? What's the lesson I can learn here? We've all heard that life is full of lessons, which it is, but if we're not aware that there's a lesson to be learned, then we're going to continually be reactive in everything we do. And then when that situation happens again, we will then continue to be reactive and we will respond the same way. So once you finally understand what the lesson is in a situation, it will help you to change your response should that situation happen again. For example, if I am driving a car and someone cuts me off, I could react in a very negative way, or I could say, "James, what are you learning about yourself right now in this situation?" And oftentimes I realize that I'm learning patience. I always thought I was a very patient person, and I am, but there are some times when my patience level is not as high as I thought it would be. So that's a really good time for me to say, "Oh, okay, well, I need to learn patience in this moment." And then when I recognize that, I don't feel frustrated or annoyed with that person because I've learned in that moment, I want to change myself. I want to develop who I am. There's going to be many situations that happen in our life, some very small situations or some very profound situations. And we always have a choice to determine how we're going to react, how we're going to perceive a situation. And if we perceive the situation as greater than who we are, our emotions are going to respond in kind. And then our reactions, or the what we do with our body, will then cause us to maybe live a life of victimhood or not be able to rise above it and find that resilience or that tenacity that's within us. One thing I often teach with my clients is to use your five senses. Your five senses are actually designed to help you be aware of your surroundings. It helps you be aware if there's danger or the proximity of things to determine if your body's safe or not. We can use our senses in many different ways, but if we're struggling with something because of our perception, so remember, our perception determines how we're going to feel, which determines what we do. When we work backwards, what we do with our five senses allows us to then change what we perceive or what we focus on. One thing I may do if I have maybe a looping thought is I will say, James, stop. I will literally say that aloud. And then what I do is by saying, James, stop, I'm using my sense of hearing. So if I have all this energy in my head and I say, James, stop, it causes me to focus on the external, because remember, your sense of hearing is used to determine if something could harm you. And then that energy for a split second is moved to my exterior, which then helps me to focus on what is around me. And then I may use my sense of sight. I may look at something around me and really look at the nuances and the details of whatever it is I'm looking at. And so therefore, it's causing me to get out of my head and use all of my senses. That's why it's really good to go on a mindful walk. You go for a walk in the park, or you go for a walk down your street. And when you can use all five senses to be aware of your surroundings, it takes that energy in your mind and it moves it externally. So if we're struggling with changing our perception about a situation, a very practical tool is to go for a mindful walk, is to use your senses, is to say, James, stop, or to maybe perhaps look at a painting or look at the trees around you and try and look at all the nuances of something. The more of your five senses you use to do that, it helps you be more external, more present in your environment and gets you out of your head. In the academy that I created, I actually created a course that's called Spirit, Mind, Body, the Perfect Triad. And I teach people how to live a symmetrical life. And what that means is having your spirit, mind, and body all work in conjunction on the same level. So if one area in your life is struggling, you have the other two components to help you through that. And in the section about your body, I go into great detail of how to stop looping thoughts, how to stay present and centered in the moment. So if you want to take a self-directed course, definitely go to my website and you will see the academy there, and you can take that self-directed course at your discretion. So once again, it all depends on our perception. We have so many opportunities to look at situations differently, but if we respond how we always responded in the past, well, we're not learning, we're simply just reacting. And living a reactive life is not a proactive life. And you'll kind of be like a puppet, and you'll continually do those things, and people will be able to push your buttons, and situations will be able to manipulate you into responding in a way that is not going to allow you to overcome the situation. We all have an opportunity to have a perception shift. Your reality is going to be based on how you perceive the situation to be. When you have more information, or you spin that Rubik's Cube around, you will see there are many different ways to look at the situation. When you always ask yourself, what am I learning right now about myself? It helps you focus on your self-development as opposed to the situation as it is. Using your five senses to help pull yourself out of those looping energetic thoughts will keep you grounded and help you then direct your energy in a more healthy, positive way. And now a quick word from my sponsor. For you, my listener, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm an avid reader. So this is a great opportunity for me to be able to download any book I'd like to read, specifically if I'm walking my dog at the gym or even driving. So for you to get your free audiobook, go to www.audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. They have over 185,000 books for you to choose from, so I'm pretty confident you'll find the book you're looking for. So check it out today.
I have a great show for you today. I'll be introducing Heidi Sifkus, who's an author and an adventurer. Welcome to my show, Heidi.
Thank you so much.
You have an incredible story. I know you've gone through so much, it seems like, but I can't wait for you to tell my listeners all about it.
Well, let me start by pressing rewind. About six years ago, I was, I would say, a person who had it all. I was a happily married, successful travel industry executive, globetrotting from Berlin to LA, taking a red eye back to Orlando, living an active, healthy lifestyle in South Florida. And then on one of my travels, something stopped me in my tracks. And it was in fall of 2009 when I decided to do something that everybody does every week, take out the trash. And I was in Hudson River Valley, New York, during the fall color change. And as I said, I was someone who was doing multiple things and quite well. I was juggling lots of balls. I'm sure many of the listeners can relate to the balancing act that we all do.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to enjoy a Sunday stroll, admire the fall color change, but I'm going to take out the trash at the same time. So as I collected the last night's pizza box and trash bag, I exited the building and everything went blank.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
The next thing I knew, 5 days later, I awoke in St. Francis Hospital in the ICU unit. It was beyond frightening. But to comfort me were my husband and my mother at my side. However, I didn't understand what had transpired, and they filled in the pieces of my puzzle for me. 5 days earlier, when I was taking out the trash, apparently, as I turned the corner of the building, a 1,000-pound tree limb struck me, breaking my neck and then leaving me unconscious there outside of the building.
Oh, my gosh. So the tree limb just fell?
It was a normal fall day, and the tree limb just fell out of nowhere. I didn't feel, see, or hear a thing, and I typically would present myself to someone that is aware of my surroundings, but I don't remember anything.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I'm so sorry.
At the time, I couldn't fathom what had happened to myself. I was really in denial. I was a self-proclaimed superwoman. I could handle anything if I put my mind to it. But this was a moment that I call a when all balls drop moment. At that point, my health was in peril, and the prognosis was uncertain at that point in time.
Oh,
what
wow.
had happened is I had fractured my C7 vertebra, which is in charge of pretty major motor functions, your hands and your eyes, as well as I had brain swelling, bleeding, various other bruises and fractured bones. But the paramount concern was my brain and then what to do about my C7 vertebra. Eventually, I stabilized within a week and I underwent neurosurgery. And it meant a very long recovery process with an uncertain outcome.
Oh, my
and
Lord.
Yes, from going from a high-powered career, high-octane, traveling the world, to then being forced to recover, they said it would typically be about 6 months in an immobilization brace and that I wouldn't have the ability to travel home.
Oh, my gosh. So for someone who's going 100 miles an hour, the thought of, I'm sure, being immobile for 6 months was probably incredibly overwhelming. I can't even imagine that.
It felt like a busy bee's prison because I was so used to being very active, whether it was taking advantage of everything South Florida has to offer, sun, sand, and being outdoors, to then also professionally speaking, traveling the world. I was limited to a brace as well as not able to return to South Florida. So recovery is difficult when you have the comforts of home, but it was terribly difficult that I was then recovering, living in an area that was not familiar to me, home to me, and living out of a suitcase.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. I'm so sorry.
For me, at the time, I thought I was in the worst place that I could ever have been at the very worst time. But over the years, I have come to appreciate the kismet or the opportunity that was presented that fall day.
So tell me more about that. So with that opportunity, it sounds like there's probably some more things that have happened in that time.
Oh, absolutely. I call really that tree limb striking as the spark of a complete life change. Many people say bad things happen in threes or that there is a ripple effect when there is something catastrophic or a large milestone in your life. And that certainly was the case in my scenario. Because of that lengthy recovery, my employer needed to move on with their marketing, PR, and sales initiatives shortly after the accident happened and the prognosis of many months away from the office, they forced me to resign. And it was a tremendous blow to my ego, to my professional identity. And so there I was dealing with questionable health, recovering away from my home, and now not knowing how I was going to pick up the pieces of my professional career, and then also deal with the finances that continue to arrive via mail while you're recovering. If those two things alone weren't enough, definitely the most painful blow was on an emotional level. And I uncovered that my marriage wasn't as faithful as I had believed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And when you uncover that your spouse has been living a double life, regardless of whatever else is going on in your life, it takes a huge impact on your persona. So what I found out is that my husband had been living a double life with a younger woman in South Florida. I did not tell anyone around me that this was going on. And many people say, why wouldn't you tell? Didn't you want to get it off your chest? When you've broken your neck, you have bigger fish to fry at that component. You have to prioritize. And I said, you know what? Right now, I'm going to get my health under control. And then I will start to share and come to terms with whether this marriage is going to be something that can be salvaged. Simultaneously, the fall of 2009, I lost everything that I held dear, my health, marriage, and career.
Wow. And the fact that you're able to even sit here and talk about that, I think just speaks of the resilience that you have, the incredible character that you have, the incredible drive.
It was not easy to share to begin with, and I used journaling as a way to process what was going on with me. And later, once I was more physically healthy, as well as after going to a mental health specialist, as well as really getting my life back together, I started sharing my story, you know, even with strangers. And it just so happened that I took a solo journey about a year and a half after all of this happened. And I was sharing with fellow hikers because I enjoy outdoor adventures. And I happened to be in Patagonia, Chile. And I was hiking with two Romanians and two Californians, and then myself.
I love it.
They asked a little bit about myself. And so I told them that recently I'd gone through a tremendous life change. After hearing that story and sharing a picnic lunch at a picturesque overlook in Torres del Paine National Park, the California woman said to me, you know what? Your story is so powerful, I could see it becoming a book. So the seed was planted in Patagonia, Chile, for me to share my story in more ways than just a hearsay around a table or on a hike or to my friends and family.
I love the serendipity of that, in the sense of that was something that you hadn't expected, and all that just worked together, and how one thing links to another, and all of a sudden you have a book when you're down in Chile. I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal.
And so when you mentioned, you know, that it takes tremendous courage to share the story, it absolutely does. During my process, journaling was a way for me to understand what was going on with me, as well as to take what was in my head and put it on paper to clear my head, gain some clarity, maybe see another side of what I was going through. And I used those journal entries as the basis for the book. So when that woman said to me in Chile, you should write a book, or your story sounds like a great book, I said, I've already got the material. I have these journal entries. And so 5 years after the accident took place, I released my debut memoir, which is entitled When All Balls Drop, The Upside of Losing Everything. I kept the format the same. So the chapters are more like short vignettes, and it is in chronological order, as a journal would be. There are parts of it that are still in that disjointed, who knows what part of her life is going to fall the next, or what's going to happen next. How is she going to juggle this? How is she going to react to that? Because that's how things happen in life. Although we may have a plan A, we have some detours that come our way to give us, whether that be a challenge or a dose of perspective.
And it's all a matter in how you frame it, how you view it.
That was the lesson that was reinforced during my entire process, was we have very little control over this thing called life. Although we try, I try to control aspects that, in essence, I may not have that much control over at all. But I do have control over my thoughts and how I see each situation. And that was tremendous in my recovery, not only physically, but also emotionally, mentally, and the whole enchilada. I don't take a day of this second chance that I have been given for granted. Although many people, when they hear my story, they say, wow, if she can overcome this, I can overcome my hurdles. And they absolutely can. But that doesn't mean that little hurdles don't happen to all of us each and every day, that we need to switch that mental channel, if you will, whether it's a TSA line at the airport that is just so slow, or traffic jam, or or spilling wine on a white blouse, you know, just these little things that sometimes will jerk a larger reaction than what they really should. Through going through a full-blown life catastrophe, I have learned to switch my channel very quickly.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this. So during this whole time, was there a particular situation that happened when you had this epiphany of this perspective shift, of this change in what you're experiencing to, I have control over my thoughts, I have control over my perspective, I have this ability to reframe it to a way that works for me instead of it being a setback against me?
I have always been a positive person, but during this journey, I found some of the lowest points in my entire life. I had pity parties for myself, even adult temper tantrums, things that an adult in public typically wouldn't do. It was all my reaction to my situation, and I needed to get those negative, sad points out in order for me to further process what I was going through.
And well, it's also a form of grieving, too. You were grieving on so many levels. You're grieving your mobility. You're grieving your marriage. You're grieving your career. I mean, there's so many levels of grief that you are experiencing. And if we stuff that, if you will, if we don't really express it, then it turns inward. And we get caught in this prison of self-defeat, of insecurity, of bitterness, of rejection. And so it sounds like you were able to grieve it appropriately, which then gave you the last stage of the grief, which is the form of the acceptance. Doesn't mean we accept what people did to us, but we accept the fact that they are.
Strangely enough, almost as if my journey through healing and coping was with the change of the seasons. Everything started around fall, and so kind of towards the end, you're starting to harvest and getting ready for the cold winter. Then I was in this immobilization brace and healing over the winter months. Finally, as the turn of the new year and spring came around, I was able to come home to Florida. And at that point is when I felt I was starting to see this as a springboard for something tremendous. It wasn't as if it was this joyous aha moment, but it was coming home and seeing a home that the doors hadn't been opened, you know, nothing had changed necessarily, the pictures, the artwork, everything, even the smell was the same. But I was entering those doors, looking at it, a changed person because of the perspective that I had. I was walking through those doors with new eyes.
Wow. As you were in your home there and you saw things differently, when did it start to make sense for you to say, you know what, I'm going to live my life in a completely different way. I'm not going to return to the things that served me in the past.
I think because of returning home, that was the start of the physical recovery. And it allowed me to start going on to other forms of recovery. I could start feeling more comfortable with the betrayal and saying, okay, I can now start dealing with my second most important thing, my relationships. And I had a very supportive group of friends and family members, and I call them my clan, that they came from all corners of the world in very unexpected ways. I never would have said that Facebook, you know, kept me company, or that Instant Messenger at the time would have made a smile come across my face. But during my recovery out of my home, it made me much more close to people all around the world that even to this day probably don't know how much they helped during those times. Just knowing that people were thinking of me was wonderful. Returning back to Florida after many months and being physically more recovered, I could focus on the next level, and that was the relationship with that supportive clan behind me. I was able to make some very important decisions. It was whether to forgive or to perhaps end that chapter that wasn't necessarily serving me and to push on. At that point, when I made a decision that I was going to get a divorce, I could then look at the possibilities of what this next life, what life 2.0 looks like. And I used the term life 2.0 because we all have smartphones or laptops that have those pop-up windows that say your software needs an update or you need the next version of this app. And we probably always close them because we are in the middle of something. Well, what happened to me was basically kind of one of those updates during this time, but I wasn't given a choice whether to ignore that large tree branch that hit me. I was forced to do the upgrades. And what I have come to realize is that in all of our lives, we come upon these updates, and sometimes we can push them underneath the rug, but eventually, just like the updates on the cell phone or a laptop, eventually the functionality starts to flow or you see more bugs or glitches, and that happens in life as well. So I always tell my friends or to audiences, I warn them not to push things underneath the rug and to perhaps take a few more of those updates when they come, or consciously make the decision to put some updates into your life, little doses of perspective to gain clarity about where you are.
What would you say the biggest lesson is that you would want your audience to learn or to be able to assimilate? I mean, I know you said as far as slowing things down and being aware of the lesson, but how would they do that? Do you have any practical tools or things that have worked for you to be able to slow things down and to be mindful of all these potential changes that may be happening?
I have two things, and I think of the takeaway of this entire experience and that I want to share with others through my books is the power of perspective. And I feel that you need doses of perspective like you need your daily vitamins. Then sometimes when you feel a cold is coming on, you'll take a little bit more of vitamin C. So you need a daily dose of perspective and then maybe some frequent, stronger oomph doses of perspective. And so I came up with a mantra during this process, and I wanted something that would be helpful to others as well as a reminder to myself of my lesson. And I wanted it to be in a language that I understood, words that had a meaning, or perhaps even a double meaning. I came up with a phrase with the help, actually, of my clan mantra that's called look up. And look up has a double meaning. It means to look up and be aware of your surroundings, whether that's appreciating the fall colors or the hazards around you. And in essence, it means be mindful. So whether you're at your steering wheel and you're about to leave from a bad work meeting, you can look up from that steering wheel, of course, before you're driving away. Appreciate what you're feeling. You know, rub your fingers together or wiggle your toes or see that it's sunny out or that you find a rainbow or that the music in the car is your favorite song. So look up is a reminder to be mindful, but also the secondary meaning is to spin each situation positively. So whether it be an uncomfortable text that you received, maybe that was just a reminder or an opportunity to spin something positively into a learning experience. Why on earth do we see things as why me, not again, but it's an opportunity to learn. Each wound, each hurdle and hiccup turns into wisdom. So that's the daily dose of perspective. I think it resonates with a lot of people because it takes only 5-10 seconds to say to yourself, look up, flip that switch. And the second tip is that you sometimes need frequent larger doses of perspective. And that's what meditation brings. And you can find meditation in many different forms. I've tried just about everything underneath the sun during my recovery, whether it was dealing with pain, whether it was dealing with emotional strife. I did yoga. I did meditational walks through labyrinths, breathing exercises. And all of that really brings you to a clarity. It's that you're focused on one thing, whether it's the breath or a balancing pose or trying to find where the labyrinth is going to lead you or where perhaps you will take the labyrinth. Through this process, started bringing in passions of my career in the travel industry. And I found that adventure is my form of meditation, and it can be needed dose of perspective for others. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to travel to a foreign country or go skydiving. Adventure can come in many forms, just as other meditation forms can be gardening, exercise, even singing. I define adventure as something that's all-consuming and that perhaps it's a little bit fearful. So it takes you out of your comfort zone. Writing a book is certainly an adventure. You relive the experience. In order to really write well, you cannot be doing anything else. No Facebook update. Typically, you want to be in a removed environment, such as where I wrote my two books on the island of Kauai in the middle of the Pacific. Even trying a new sport like stand-up paddleboarding, similar to yoga poses that you have to balance on one foot. To balance on a stand-up paddleboard, you also need to be there. There's no mental list of to-dos. My two, I guess, tips of advice in order to really take advantage of the power of perspective are get daily doses of it and look up. Sure works for me and has worked for lots of readers of my book, When All Balls Drop and With New Eyes, as well as get frequent doses of a stronger component of perspective.
Well, you know, one of the things that the way I hear this as well is with the look up mantra, which I think is an incredible mantra. I really like that. You're using your all your five senses. You're physically moving yourself. You're physically incorporating your surroundings to link up with your internal self. And then that's the one part of it. And then to do more of the in-depth mindful meditation that you're discussing, or perhaps paddleboarding, the examples you used, what you're really doing is you are making yourself consciously extend that meditation component into a much greater thing. You're moving yourself out of your comfort zone and forcing yourself to grow and stretch. And that's how everything grows itself, is when you stretch something, it continually gets stronger and stronger. Just like the episode I did last week, I talked about how a palm tree, certain palm trees actually grow when they're bent over. And through that stretching, that's how they become stronger and bigger. So it's the same type of thing with what you were saying, as far as when you purposely put yourself in a place where you're perhaps you're out of your comfort zone, it affords you the ability to grow and stretch and develop and become that next person, that 2.0, or that more evolved person that you are, that you will be.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Some of the most trying times, whether they're by our choice or not, they stretch, they expand our limits. And what I have found is that life 2.0 for me is a happier, truer version of myself, a more truer path, because I consciously make those choices to go outside of my boundaries with a little bit of adventure. And when I don't have necessarily the time, money, etc., to do something, I always have look up in my back pocket.
That's great. I love that. That's wonderful. I think that's a really good takeaway and a good mantra that my listeners can maybe assimilate into their own lives. So Heidi, if my listeners want to find you online, where would they find your books and maybe more information about you?
My website is my name, HeidiSiefkus.com. That's HEIDISIEFKAS. And you can find everything about my books, an upcoming film version of When All Balls Drop, events, and my travels. And if they like print e-versions or audiobooks, When All Balls Drop on Amazon, and its second book, With New Eyes, The Power of Perspective.
That is absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited about the film version. I think that's absolutely wonderful.
It's definitely a visual story. I was ecstatic to write the first book, then also narrate the audio version recently, but to see it on film is just going to take it to another level.
And really assimilate that and help you visually internalize all those changes as well. So I'm incredibly happy for you.
Thank you so much.
I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for joining with me today. Please subscribe to this podcast, either through iTunes or through whichever podcast portal you joined with me today. Also, please visit my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com. You may enroll in the Lifeology Academy I created. They're self-directed courses for successful people just like you. You may also see all the Lifeology YouTube episodes I've created. Currently, there are over 125 episodes there for you to watch. And also on my website, you may find many other tools and techniques which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you very soon.